So today I want to carry on with that understanding. And I want to encourage each one of you that you should have a statement or declaration in your life, your faith, of what you believe. The Bible says that we should have an answer to every man that asks us what our hope is. And I believe, I remember our pastor always saying those words. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I encourage you to write down those things that you believe so that you can confess them and that you can support those things by the eternal word of God. Such as, I believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth. That there is only one God. And that all things were made by him. And the scriptures can be the foundation for that declaration of faith. Of who you are and what you believe. You need to separate yourself from the unbelievers by proclaiming what you believe. The Bible teaches us that confession is made unto salvation. It begins when we accept Jesus Christ, acknowledge our sins, accept him, and we're on our journey. The next thing is that we believe that God raised him from the dead. The second part, because he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And there is a difference. Baptism is where we express that we believe that God raised Jesus, his son, from the dead. So to fulfill that scripture, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, one, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, being buried with him in the waters of baptism, rising again in newness of life. If you believe, you shall be saved. And that confession grows as we mature in the Lord, as the word begins as a seed sown in us to grow and to bring forth fruit. What can we say after that? That God is my deliverer, my healer. Yes. When I was in a time of trouble, the Lord came and delivered me out of that trouble. Amen? Amen. I cried unto the Lord with my heart, and I was sick, or I was dying. And the Lord heard my cry and came and delivered me and set me free. And great is his name. Yes. So to continue on, faith is the evidence of things not seen. And we're really going to stress the point that there are things that you can't see that are eternal. And that the things that you can see are temporary. Yeah. And we're stuck in a world where the eyes seem to be the most important sense in the body. But in the spirit, that's not so. Spiritual man is not led by his eyes, because we walk not by sight, but by faith. So, faith is the evidence of the invisible things. Let's start with, what is your life? In James chapter 4 and verse 14, the Lord describes life to us. He describes our life. James 4 and verse 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, what shall be happening tomorrow. We don't know the future. We don't know tomorrow. We have no idea. We're stuck in the moment. God, however, is not. He always was, isn't, always shall be, always will be. He is not involved in time at all. He is. That's it. But he's trying to teach us, as James speaks, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, for what is your life? Question mark. What is your life? So this is the description in the Bible of what your life is. It is a vapor. It's a mist. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's your life as described by the Word of God. Your life is a mist. How many have seen the kettle balls? Our brother was referring to that today. You see the steam come up from the kettle, or in the morning, the mist off the ground. It's there, and then as soon as the sun comes, it's gone. Or as soon as that mist is there in the air for a little while, it's gone. You can't see it anymore. Where'd it go? It's gone. It lives such a short time. The Lord says that's your life. He wants us to understand the brevity of our situation here. Vapor or mist, as it can be interpreted, is so brief. It has no real substance to it. You might say it's flighty. And it's moved by whatever little breeze seems to be blowing or might blow. It's moved so easily. It's affected so easily. And so in the context of the scripture, James is telling us how we need to conduct ourselves in our brief existence. By understanding in our minds that we don't have really the ability to make plans. To say we're going to do this, and tomorrow we're going to do that. And I got a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan. He said, don't. He said, you don't know what's going to happen. But here we are now. This is the moment in our lives that is of utmost importance. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Some believers say, well, I'm going to do something for the Lord tomorrow or the next day, or I'm going to be a better Christian coming up. No, it's now or it's never, because you have no idea. Our life is so brief, so frail, really so insignificant. Unless the Lord is allowed to truly take it over. Unless it's subjected to his kingdom. It literally has no purpose. It exists and gone. The next verse says, for what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. And do this or that. You know, I've known people that, I've known them for a while and shocked at how fast that body deteriorated and they died and are no longer here. Even the memory of them is fading as life goes on. As it will with you, should the Lord tarry. Because your life is but a vapor. It appears for a short time, and then it vanishes away. It's what you do for Christ that endures. As Jesus told us to put your treasure in heaven. Where moth and dust doesn't corrupt and it doesn't fade away. create treasure that's going to last, that's going to endure. How? By doing the will of the Father. How many have plans? You know, we go on every day as though we're going to live forever. But Jesus Christ is coming back. Don't be deceived. The signs are here. Amen. They're actually everywhere you look. Amen. Christ is returning. It's time to put on your garments, your wedding garments, and yes, be prepared for that day when the trumpet will sound. Yes. The dead are going to lift off the earth first, and then those that are alive and remain are going to be caught together with him in the air. That's the first resurrection. And those people in the first resurrection are his church, his bride, his beloved, and they have judged themselves, or they have been judged by the Lord, by the Holy Ghost, so that they can inherit the kingdom of heaven as the bride of Christ. We need to live as though tomorrow may not come. Literally, we are that frail. We need to live today as though tomorrow is not going to come. As the end of the world is tomorrow, our life is over, whatever you want to say, the Lord wants us to be cognizant of our frailty and the necessity to do something today, to proclaim Jesus today. You know, one of the dying regrets that people have as believers is that how they would have liked to have done more for the kingdom of heaven. And I want to ask you that this morning to put things into context in your life. If your life was over today, and there was no tomorrow, would it be one of the things that you would say, oh, that I could have had more time to do something for Christ? Or, oh, that I would have told somebody about Jesus? Oh, that I would have let the Lord use me and just had faith in his purpose in my life. Amen? It's serious. Church isn't a club. You're participating in what Christ has given for his church to do. You're a part of that. Many-membered body of Christ, every joint supplying. That means every member in the body giving something towards the whole, contributing. As many members, one church. That we speak the same thing. We have the same mind. We have the same thoughts. We have the same understanding. We're in this together. The same vision. So I encourage you today to think about what your dying regrets would be concerning the kingdom and do something about it for heaven's sake. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Last week, it says, for our light affliction is but for a moment. We're talking about trials of the flesh, talking about troubles in our lives, talking about difficulties we face. Our light affliction, the Lord calls it, is but for a moment. But it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That small trouble that affects us or afflicts us is doing wonders in heaven or for heaven's sake. And for our life in Christ. Because it's through those situations, when we trust in the Lord, when we cry out to the Lord, that our faith begins to grow and grow. Hallelujah. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. How can you look at things which are not seen? Anybody? You're going to have to take a chance and say it a little louder. Well, yes. But the things that are not seen are revealed by the Word of God. Okay? So, yep, write that down because you're going to need to know that. If you want to know about the invisible things, if you want to know about the things that are not seen, which are eternal, all things that are not seen are eternal. The Word describes that implicitly, simply. It's easy to understand. It's straightforward. You don't have to be one of those people. The Word's very clear, and even people like myself can get a hold of that. The visible things are temporary. Everything you see is temporary. Everything that your eyes behold is temporary. And everything you can't see is eternal. That's what the Lord has given us to understand. So let's look at it. While we look at things which are not at things, so we don't look at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. Through the word of the Lord, through the Spirit. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal, everlasting. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus is here, right now. You can't see him with your eyes, but your faith should be able to give evidence that that's true. Jesus is alive, risen from the dead, and he's here in North Vancouver today. Hallelujah. I'm just going to lift my hands to praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your fellowship with us this morning. We thank you that your word, which says that you inhabit the praises of your people, is real and alive. And we affirm that this morning by acknowledging that your presence is with us, that you have not left us, you have not forsaken us. You are here to the end of the world. You are here. You are with us today. And we thank you and we lift our hands. We can't see you, but you're here. And I proclaim that this morning. He's on the throne and he's here. Did you know that angels are here as well? You know what they love? When you praise the Lord. Because that gets right into their job. And they don't have any problem in joining in that together. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Glorious King of all kings, precious Lamb of God, precious overcoming, coming, conquering Savior. We laud your amazing name and we speak it today with boldness.
Amen, Lord.
Hallelujah. You can close your eyes because you're not going to see it anyway. If you could see it, it would be temporary. That's why the people, crazy people, they take silver and gold and wood and they make these images. And then they worship. I can see that. Therefore, I can do something. And I can praise that, serve that, the guy with the big belly. And he's not going to save you because you can see him. If you couldn't see him, there might be an opportunity to do something for you on an eternity scale. Amen?
Yeah.
I can see you. You know what that means? You're temporary. Come on. It's what I can't see in you that lasts. So let's get that down. We want to see the things that we can't see. We want to look at the things we can't see according to the scripture. And beloved, we understand the things that are unseen through the word of God. And our faith comes by hearing the word of God. Not seeing the word of God. Not seeing the miracles of scripture or that. That didn't help the disciples. They saw the dead raised. It didn't help them. They still turned away from Jesus and denied him. It's not what you see. It's what you don't see that you see. So our lives are temporary. We live in a temporary situation, in a temporary world. Don't think that this is going to last. You see, the sun is not going to last. You can see it. The stars, they're not going to endure. What's going to endure? The word of the Lord that you can't see. Oh, yes, you can see the Bible, but you can't see the word of God. Do you know why? Because the word of God is quick and powerful. Amen? And the word of God is like a seed that's sown, and it goes down in your ear, and it divides asunder soul and spirit. And it does a work inside our inner man. You can't see, but it's alive in there. The word is alive. And it's a quickening word. That means that it's not the letter of the page of the Bible. It's a life-giving, stirring, quickening word that's doing something in my life, in my innermost being. It even causes my flesh to quiver. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful for the Bible, which I believe is the inerrant word of God. It's without mistake. I think our understanding is faulty, but the word of the Lord is not faulty. There's things that I never understood before that I understand now, and I thank God because it one time he wants to reveal things to us. And when we leave this life and we pass away, our eyes are open. We stop seeing through a glass darkly. Our eyes are open and we see things as they are. And that's when we're going to see the totality of God's word, of his purpose and his creation, because we'll no longer be in a temporary state. We'll see, as the Lord sees, the beginning and the end at the same time. And it's almost too much for our little minds to grasp. Only that we should believe. But you're believing something you can't prove. In a manner of speaking, but faith is the evidence. Hallelujah. And it's not like you think evidence is. This evidence is supernatural. It's a spiritual evidence. It's a powerful evidence. Though you can't see it, it has power that affects the human life. So we're temporary in a temporary world, doing temporary things, wasting way too much time on things that are temporary. Amen? Can you imagine blowing your whole vapor on temporary things? When you could have taken a little bit of that vapor and gotten into some eternal things, some everlasting things. Does that make any sense to you? Amen. If it makes sense to you, say amen.
Amen.
If it doesn't make sense to you, say, could you explain that a little more? Chickens. So things which are not seen are? How many unseen things are there? I have no idea. I have no idea. All I know is that God is God. He's the beginning and the end. That's how he talks about himself. He tries to do it so that we can understand it, right? He says, I am Alpha and Omega. Okay, we've never known anybody like that before. Amen? I am the first and the last. I am that I am. So we're surrounded by invisible things. Even today, we're surrounded by invisible things that are eternal, that last. And yet with our eyes, we can just be drawn to be involved with the visible things that are so temporary and have no lasting qualities. They don't have any value as far as heaven and so on is concerned. They're just there for a short time and they're gone. Man boasts great things, but yet he has no power to accomplish anything, unless the Lord allows it. But the word of God is quick and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. Beloved, this is the most powerful thing that we have that connects us to heaven, because it gives us some understanding. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have understanding. And the spirit that we have received allows us to be connected, to communicate with heaven. And sometimes I don't think we take advantage of that as we ought to. It's not just praying. Praying is kind of a one-way conversation. It's communion. It's fellowship. It's being one together with the Lord and fellowshipping around that. It's knowing that he's there. It's acknowledging his love and his care, his compassion for your life. Where you walk, where you talk, where you go, where you're driving, wherever you are, at your job, if you've got a minute, take your mind off the temporary things for a moment and let it go to heaven. Say, oh my God, put in perspective my day today. Let me see things as they are. Let me have perspective on today. Because you'll never have perspective unless heaven is included or unless the eternal things are. Dividing asunder soul and spirit. The word is so powerful. And as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What is it? The word of God. Not the mind of man, the word of God. Hallelujah. You want to be close to that word. You want to have your Bible and you want to get to know it and start reading it, start meditating on it so you can see the word coming out from even in between the lines. Yes. And revelation from heaven coming on that word. Yes. That you've read over and over and I don't understand it. I say that to the Lord all the time. I don't understand what I'm reading here, Lord. I just say that it's wonderful, it's your word, but I don't understand what it means. And I know that you can give me a revelation on that if you really want to. And for my part, I'd really like to have that revelation. I want to see you more clearly today than I did yesterday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me praise you with more substance, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we can be overcome and defeated by what we see. Yes. I know people that literally have walked away from the faith because of what they've seen or circumstances in their temporary life. They've left the eternal things because of what took place in a temporal basis. Crazy, isn't it? To abandon eternity for something temporary. But it happens all the time. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, the pride of life, the temporary things that draw us away from the eternal things. Satan knows that. And that's why he makes everything look so appeasing. I've said this so many times, that church, to be successful today, has to be like a smorgasbord. You can take what you like and don't take what you don't like. And if there's stuff left on the plate, so what? It's not there to please you. The word of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord are there to raise you up. And if it's anything like what's been happening in my life, it's trouble. But oh, I thank God that he saw one even like me and said, I can use that man for something. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If he'll only submit himself to me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Beloved, it's the exact same thing for you. Lord, I submit myself to your kingdom. Can you say that? I wouldn't ask you to say that, because I wouldn't ask you to say something that's deceitful. But at one point, it would be wonderful if you could look up at heaven square in the eye and say, I submit myself. I surrender myself for your purpose. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I put no barriers. I put nothing on you, Lord. Your will be done. And I have no idea what that is at the present or what the extent of that might be. I might have an idea, but I don't know the fullness of what's possible when you get to work on me. All I want you to know is that now would be a good time. Because my vapor is starting to fade. Come on. And I speak to you young people. You're alive. The strength of your youth is there. It's time to serve the Lord. It's time to make a difference. You want to make a mark on your generation? It's through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the word of the Lord, you can turn the world upside down. That's not just a story. It's not just a statement. It's the word of God. It's true. Amen. If you'll give yourself to the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Your life will be amazing.
Yes.
It won't be boring. It'll be amazing. And you'll never regret a moment of it. But you will regret if you just spend all your attention on things that are dying and are temporary. Start to think about things that are eternal. What am I doing for the kingdom? Okay? So, you know, we often are faced things we can be overcome and defeated by what we see. And, you know, there are some great examples, and I want to bring those to your remembrance again. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10, and we're going to read to verse 13. And you know, Israel had the most difficult time struggling with the temporary and the eternal. And at this point, they've left Israel. Hallelujah, the Lord's delivered them out of bondage, out of slavery. Exodus 14, verse 10. And they're on their way to the promised land. A small glitch, there's a big sea in front of them. A big body of water. And Pharaoh is, they're not moving anywhere, and Pharaoh is getting really close. You know, all of a sudden you realize how temporary you might be. It says, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And you know what they said to Moses? Because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in this wilderness. Thank you very much. Why have you done this to us? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? You know how quickly that temporary starts to affect what we speak, right? And beloved, if you give voice to your troubles, let's say you go around to everybody and want them to know how badly you're suffering, your suffering's going to increase, not decrease. You're not sharing your burden, you're increasing your burden. You cry out to the Lord in your trouble. And he hears your cry, and he will deliver you. Amen. He will deliver you, because the Lord is my deliverer. Do you understand? There's no question about it. There's nothing, there's no dispute. There's nothing the enemy can do, or this natural life, or this temporary situation can do. God will deliver you. Amen. And if he doesn't, or if he wouldn't, or if he couldn't, don't serve him. What a waste of your temporary vapor. Going to church and doing nothing is a waste of it too, by the way. So there they are, in front of the Red Sea, saying to Moses, why? I'm so bad. We're all going to die right here. And Moses said to the people, fear not, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Something invisible was about to take place, was about to take over the temporary situation. Hallelujah. Huh? A little bit of eternity was going to come down and disrupt the temporary. He said, stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them no more again. Forever. Hallelujah. Numbers 13, verse 30. I love this. It's one of my favorite scriptures of faith. It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said these words, his confession, the evidence. Let's go up at once and possess the land that God has promised us. It's not something that we're trying to do on our own strength. God has promised us hundreds of years. He's promised to give us the land of Canaan. Let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's why I want my confession to be. Let's go now. Come on, let's go and possess it. Put all those temporary troubles out of your mind. And as soon as Joshua and Caleb had finished speaking, it says, verse 31 says, but the men that went up with them said, we're not able to go up against the people, for we are stronger than, they are stronger than we are. How do you know that? Oh, we saw them. Did you fight with them? No, but we saw them. They're stronger than us. And they brought up an evil report of the land that they searched out the children of Israel, saying, the land which we gone search, it eats up the inhabitants. And the people that we saw are great stature. And they're giants there. And we're, you know, we're like grasshoppers standing next to them. Basically, forget it. We got to find some other place to live. the things which you're seeing. You know, they all saw the same thing. All those 12 princes saw the same thing. It's just Joshua and Caleb saw it in a different way. How do you see your trouble? There's two ways to see it, brothers and sisters. Two ways to see your difficulties. You can see it in the light of the temporary, or you can see it in the light of the eternal. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. And my number one most favorite scripture I'm going to share with you today. Always has been. It's hard to say, though. I got a lot of favorites, but this is really, really up there. 1 Samuel 17, verse 43, it's about David and Goliath. And it says, the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you're coming here with your shepherd's staff? I guess he couldn't see the sling and the stone, not that that would have worried him. But he was like the king of temporary strength. He was a monster of a man that had a huge history of ruining people's lives. Am I a dog that you're coming to me with that shepherd's staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come here, I'm going to give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. You know, it's about that time you're thinking, well, maybe I should have taken that armor Saul offered me and that sword, you know. Probably might have helped, you know. I mean, this guy is really big. Maybe I'll go back and think about it a little bit more before I get into this fight. No, he didn't say that. Eternity, the invisible things were all around him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he said, this young boy said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of the armies of the invisible. Hallelujah. That's what that means, by the way. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of the armies of the invisible. The invisible armies. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord is going to deliver you into my hand, and I'm going to kill you and take your head from you, and I'm going to give the carcasses of your whole army to the fowls, to the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. How could David have seen the invisible thing so clearly? And you know the story about Elisha and his servant. And the hordes of the army of Syria were surrounding the city. And same with his servant. He said, what are we going to do? And instead of Elisha trying to get his faith going, he just said, Lord, you know, could you open his eyes this one time? Let him see what's really happening. As he opened his eyes, he saw an innumerable amount of army, chariots of fire and horses surrounding the Syrian army. Okay, we're okay. We're going to be fine. Where are those armies today? You know, we're worshiping the Lord. When we're really worshiping the Lord this morning, I just saw, I sensed, not seen with my eyes, but sensed in my spirit that the Lord was all around watching over his people, keeping the enemy, the spirits that want to come into our church today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift up the name of Jesus Christ in this place. We lift up the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's invisible, but it's there. Oh my goodness, there are so many stories. What about Balaam and that donkey? And the donkey could see, but Balaam couldn't see. And he beat that donkey. And that donkey tried everything he could to stay away because he saw the Lord with a sword standing in the way. And that's the one time that we gave premise for that old show called Mr. Ed, where the animal spoke to him and said, "Why are you beating me?" The Lord sometimes to get through to us. I'm going to close with these scriptures, but I want to impress upon your minds today that we need to embrace the hope of salvation. You can't see it, beloved. I understand that. I'm with you. We have to embrace eternal life. And we have to stop relying on our senses to tell us what's real and what's not real. And start holding up that precious, holy word of God. Exalting it above the temporary things in our lives. When you got a problem, where should you go? Go to the Word. Amen. You know, it has an answer for you. Doesn't matter what the situation, doesn't matter that we're living in this, you know, in the start of the third millennium. It's got an answer, and it's contemporary. If you trust in yourselves, it means you're not trusting in the Lord. Amen. And if you trust in yourself, you're going to fail. If there's no way you can succeed, in fact, you have to fail. But if you trust in the Lord, you can't fail. With all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. And He will direct your path. How can we embrace salvation, eternal life, and what we believe? By making the visible honor the invisible. Do you know how we can do that? This is how we can do that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The visible, the invisible. Why are you lifting your hands like that? Why are you lifting your eyes always up at the roof? That's where my redemption is coming from. Because he's actually inside. He's not over the roof. He's under the roof. Lift our hands. Lift our voices and declare the invisible things. Let the statement of your faith be declared. What you believe. I believe in Jesus. You know, we're not trying to convince people to be saved. We're declaring that Jesus is the Savior. And if they want to come to Him, He will receive them. We're messengers. We're not trying to convince people that it's a better way than the way they're going. Do you know what I'm saying? Because all that's natural. And then salvation that comes because of that is natural. It can't last. But if we speak the word only, the word has this power. If we confess our faith, let the faith be the evidence of who Jesus is. It supernaturally reveals it to another soul.
Yes.
Can you understand that? It doesn't work in a way that you know, that's humanly possible. Amen. So we lift our hands and our voices to worship the one true, invisible God and our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 6, and it's the last scripture that I'm going to give to you this morning. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, so even a temporary thing, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Starts out with heaviness, but it ends up in joy. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, might be found unto praise. Hallelujah. When's the best time to praise the Lord? When you're troubled. There's some liberty that comes, that spirit of liberty. That might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. I love that. Yeah. I just love that so much. How can you love someone you can't see? By faith. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing. Jesus said, blessed are you because you've seen and you believe. But he said, more blessed are those that have not seen and yet still believe. Hallelujah. That's you and I, brothers and sisters. Yet believing, you do what? Where does your faith take you? And brothers and sisters, this is something that's necessary for the North Shore Christian Center, is that we have joy. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're not a bunch of those sad sack Christians who need somebody to come and help them. We got joy, and it's got to be unspeakable kind of joy. And we need to rejoice when we get together. We're rejoicing. Why? Because there's victory. We're still here. Our temporary situation is still temporary, but we're still here. I can acknowledge that your temporary situation is still available. No, we rejoice. We're celebrating the same thing. How many have been saved by grace through faith? Hallelujah. Is it ongoing? Yes, it's happening today, right now. I sense it in my spirit. Though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. That certainly is evidence of the invisible. Rejoicing in a time when you should not rejoice. Rejoicing in a time when every man on the face of the earth would cry and give up. And you're rejoicing saying, yes. But he's still alive. Yes, the trouble there. But the word of God is still true. Yes, but my name is written down in heaven. And though I live or though I die, my name is known in heaven. And I will see my Redeemer again. Hallelujah. Receiving the last scripture, receiving the end of your faith. And what is the end of your faith? Even the salvation of your souls. God bless you today. Have a wonderful.